Surprising Encounters with God from Genesis 28:10-22 by Paul Bucknell. This is part of a larger series on Genesis, Lessons from the Beginning for Today's Living. Produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom, www.foundationsforfreedom.net, releasing God's truth to a new generation.
Experiences with God, or as I called it here, Surprising Encounters with God. We'll be looking at Genesis chapter 28:10-22 today. It's about someone I think you heard of, an experience that you heard of, but maybe you don't quite understand it. I'm still trying to grapple with it myself. But God wants to bring His truth to impact us in our life. And I think one of the things that challenges me, especially with this passage, but all the way through the book of Genesis, the greatest good begins with meeting God. You think so? Now, that's not the message you hear out there, right? That's not what people believe out there. They would say, my life can be fine without God. But I want to challenge you with what God is trying to say. The greatest good, your greatest good, my greatest good begins with meeting God. And the question comes down, well, what is that meeting like? What's supposed to happen in those God encounters? Is there really a God, perhaps, you're asking? I'd like to address all those and combine them together today as we look at Genesis 28. I'd like to quickly go through an outline and then lead us in a word of prayer. Three main points, needing God, and we're just going to talk about this guy who is going astray. He was full of fear and needed to be brought back. Knowing God, he desperately needed direction in his life, but that direction only came after meeting God. Thirdly, responding to God. He heard from God in such a way that he paused, adjusted his life for God and for his plans. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much that our world goes on because you are there bringing grace into it. Meeting with us, Lord. Totally unfit, totally not looking in most cases, but you coming and reaching out to us. And today, Lord, just as you did many years ago with this one man, we ask that you would reach out to us, speak to us, refresh how you have met with us. Or if you've never met with us, Lord, we pray, oh, by your great mercy, meet with us. For life doesn't begin until you have begun in us. Oh, bless us and help us. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let's read a section together from Genesis 28:10-22 on two slides here. You can open up your Bibles to that if you'd like. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he had a dream. Behold, a ladder was set up on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your fathers, Abraham, the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie. I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south, and in you all your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. And he called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, will keep me on this journey that I take, will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that thou dost give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. May the Lord indeed bless his word and bless us all the more for revealing it and keeping it for us through the many years and manuscripts people have written down again and again, kept it faithful. First point, needing God from verses 10 to 12. What are we finding out here? First of all, we're talking about Jacob. He's coming from Beersheba and going to Haran. I don't know if you were here last week, but there is a significant context in this matter. Jacob, why was he going to Haran? Do you remember? Jacob greatly needed God. Jacob had just committed some of the most horrible things that we read about in earlier chapters 24 to 27. You remember what he did? It doesn't sound bad, right? He just stole a birthright. And he deceived his dad and got his brother's inheritance. Does that sound all that bad? Well, in God's sight, it's horrible. I don't know if you ever deceived your dad. One of the commandments, honor your father and mother. The opposite. How about your brother? Did you ever pull a trick on him? I mean, just not a trick, but I mean, you were actually stealing his fortune out from under his feet. That would be pretty bad. But that's what Jacob did. Now, if we're looking for a good guy here, you won't find him. Do you know why he was running? He was running because, now his mom was in all this, by the way, trying to show him how he could deceive his dad, which makes it even worse. Imagine living in that kind of home. Lot of problems. But here, he was running away for his life. Now, it's not like Moses where he killed somebody. But, you know, on a level, it's probably pretty bad, isn't it? When you're willing to steal something from someone close to you, it's almost like you don't mean anything and you should be dead anyways, so I can have what you have. I think Jacob needed a God encounter. Would you agree? This is Jacob. This is what we're talking about. And that's why he's going to Haran. Far, leaving the country, running away for his life. And we just have to understand something about unbelief. There's a lot of levels of unbelief. And in our society, you'll find them all. Maybe I can start with the furthest away. Maybe it's close to you. Atheists, right? I don't believe there's a God, right? I don't believe this. And they're getting more vocal lately. They're writing some good books. They're making a fortune out of it. So they deny the existence of God. Now, most people aren't like that. Most are rather what? Maybe there's a God, maybe there isn't. Agnostic, I don't really care if there's a God. Not very impressionable truth, you know, on their lives. I got my own life to live. God has his. I'll take care of mine. Let God take care of his. You know, that kind of thing. And maybe for some of us, it's more of a religious unbelief. I grew up in a Christian home. Yeah, I've been going to church. I'm here today. I know my mom or dad's going to call and say, did I go to church today? I'm here to church today. And they're happy. And I'm happy they're not bothered. But that's an unbelief too. What about Jacob? What kind of unbelief do you think he had? Did he have unbelief? I think so. As we go on, we'll see that Jacob did not believe in God. I mean, he knew it all. I mean, this was Abraham, his grandfather. He lived for how many hundred plus years? And then his father, Isaac. Now, God spoke to them. They were moved. They were stirred. They changed their life patterns and all the stories are there, of course. But for Jacob, it didn't really take root in his heart. Not really. I mean, that's why he's willing to cheat. That's why he's willing to lie to his dad. That's why he, wouldn't you say he's materialistic? I mean, what counts the most? It's the money. It's getting those blessings. You know, we don't use the word blessing today. What, the fortune, maybe? Getting the land, getting the deeds, getting whatever, the stock, whatever it is, the education, but getting it. So I have it. Doesn't matter if I rip somebody else off. I got it. Very materialistic. Focused on what he wanted in life. Money was more important than principles. Our principles weren't there because God wasn't there. Religion, yeah, that was there. He grew up in a monotheistic home. He understood everything that's going on. But he didn't believe it. It didn't make a life-changing mark in his life. Where are you at? Are you a believer or a believer with unbelief? Or an unbeliever with some belief? Or where are you at? Think about it, because it's important. Because today we're talking about a God encounter. But more than just a God encounter. We're talking about God encountering someone who didn't deserve it. Now, if you would just say, oh, Jacob, well, God will probably take care of him. He'll be okay. He'll get along in this life. That wasn't good enough for God. That's not what God wanted. And so God abruptly interrupted in his life. Now, I want you to get the picture here. You have to get the picture here. Where was he right now? He was at this place, Luz. Now, there was a city. It's like a nice place you could stay in, a city maybe. Where was he? He was outside the city. He was running away for his life. Did he stay in the local hotel? No. He stayed outside the city with a rock for a pillow, probably afraid for his life. Maybe a tiny bit afraid with a religious fear or religious guilt, they call it. You know, maybe God's going to be after him too. Maybe there was some of that. But he just snuck off with a fortune. But boy, was he not feeling like God was with him. Then there was the dream, an amazing dream. One like perhaps he had never had before, where God began to speak. I want you to think about that. I want you to even ask now, God, would you begin to speak to me? He had a dream. And a ladder was set on the earth. Its top going up to heaven. Imagine just looking at that ladder, keep looking up, and then just see there's no end to it. It keeps going all the way up to heaven. And you wonder, where am I? You know, this is odd. But this dream, when you have a dream from God, it's like it's real. And it was real. And he heard God's voice. Now we find that sometimes, oh, I wish God would speak to me. I would believe. Don't look at things like that, okay? God gives unique experiences people in special ways. Just like Jesus never healed people the same way, he didn't reveal himself the same way either. There was a ladder. There were angels going up and down. What does the ladder stand for? It stands for a ladder that God is communicating. To me, this is a brilliant image to debate the secular society today that says God is not real or applicable to our society. And yet this ladder drops down, whoop, and God says, here I am. Here I am. And he's communicating. He's got the angels coming down. He's got the angels going up. They're carrying out God's work. It's marvelous. Now, for all those people out there that would deny, you know, whether God's real or not, don't be scared. Have pity on them. For somehow God hasn't broken through their lives. They don't understand. It's not a debating issue. It's a revelation issue. You can't convince people like that. I mean, you can state the truth. You can explain things. But there's something more that has to happen. And God has to speak to them. Not through a dream necessarily, but nor give up hope on people around you or yourself. But believe, remember that God is there, that he can speak to our lives and address us in areas that we never thought we needed before. I like to think of a ladder as a door, a window perhaps, a bridge. You're on one side, it connects. We're connecting earth, we're connecting heaven. Heaven connecting with earth. There's that communication. So secular would only have the earth, right? That's it. A more strict materialistic would just say have materialism. That's all, you know. They can't perceive that it goes beyond that. They never had this dream. They never can see God coming down. For Jacob, this was a holy place, he called it. Jesus, he quotes this. He's alluding to it when he speaks in John 1, 50 to 51. You shall see these things, greater than these things. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. If Bethel was a holy place, what is Jesus saying? These angels are coming down and going up from him. What he's saying is he, God, is communing with him on a constant way. Now, this is significant. You'll find out how more significant it is in a moment. But I want you to understand, God is there to reveal himself. He's not to hide. The devil came to hide God from us. That's what sin does. It hides. It says God's not there. It says God's not real. It says God can't help. Jesus said, yes, God is real. He can help. And that's why the demons are fleeing. That's why people are being healed. That's why people are finding peace and joy in their life. Because there is a radical difference when we meet up with God. Now, the latter, when Jesus came, it's come down to earth so that anybody, any of us now can commune with God and find God. He found a way for us to reach God. Now, this is an undeserving encounter. Jacob was fleeing. He committed some horrible crimes against his family members, the ones he loved the most, the ones that loved him the most. He had unbelief. He didn't deserve it. And he was rather uninterested. I remember I was like that when I was saved. I was about 12 years old. My mom said, I should go to church. I was in a broken family. Why go to church? Well, we don't have a dad at home. Okay, go to church. You might find a good father image there. That was her concept of church. Well, I remember hearing the gospel. I was totally uninterested. Then all of a sudden, God spoke. In about 4 minutes flat, I became a believer. Now, I didn't have a dream. I had a vision. But God changed me just the same. Totally undeserving, yes. Unbelieving, yes. Uninterested, yes. Do you qualify? Yeah, probably qualify more than you want to say, maybe. But it's okay, you see, because God knows that story. When God pursued Jacob, did God know about Jacob? Absolutely. And that is an amazing thing. In the scriptures, God himself said, Romans 3, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Now, we're trying to impress God and everything like that. That's the wrong way to approach God. Instead, we were like Jacob, was saying, yeah, you know, I did a few wrong things back there. I'm impure, I'm unholy, I'm a liar, I'm a cheater, I'm a deceiver, I'm jealous, I'm anxious, I'm fearful, whatever it might be. That's me. But that's why I need you. You see, this is a story for most of us, which would later, his name would be turned into Israel, the chosen of God, the blessed of God. But we start off here. But God brings it to the point where we know God. And we already read these verses, but I'll highlight some of them as we go along. Verse 13. Behold, the Lord stood above the ladder in heaven, said, I'm the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. Identifying himself. This is who I am. Remember, that's how God was speaking to Moses in a very similar way a few chapters back. Identifying himself. This is the same one that's revealing himself. Why? Because God wanted Jacob to get the picture. How God revealed him to Abraham out in a far distant land and promised him. He was bringing the same promises down to him, to Isaac and to Jacob. And this is what he was doing. This part of revealing himself is the same part of revealing his plan. And some of us just want God's plan. We don't want God. No, you have to have both. I'd like to focus a little bit on verse 13 to 14 here. The plan. What was the plan? Well, notice here, God was promising about four things. I'll give to you that your descendants, you know, this land, not what you're on. Now, he happened to be lying, dreaming, remember at that point? His head was on a pillow, rock pillow. He was on the ground. Not very impressed. He gave this promise to Abraham and Isaac, but they were still in tents too. And did they have the land? No. But each time he says to you and your descendants. So it's like the story goes on. It unfolds in the future. And your descendants will be like the east, the west. Now, Jacob, where was he at? I mean, how many descendants did he have? No, he wasn't married. He didn't have any descendants. And Isaac had this one that was chosen, that was Jacob. So again, the story goes on. It perplexes us like an interesting plot in a story. And interestingly, in the end of verse 14, your descendants shall all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's very similar to what he said to Abraham. So God was going to bless Jacob in an extraordinary way so that through his life, his descendants, God will bring blessing all around the world. The promise, behold, I'm with you. I'll keep you wherever you go. Remember Jesus' word in Matthew 28:20? He says, I am with you to the end of the age. You go make disciples. I'll be with you. All that you need, all the grace, the power, the love, I am the source. The resurrected Jesus Christ is with us today to speak to us, to help us, to go on in a similar promise, made a promise that no matter what difficulties we face, God is there. So the message in Genesis is the same. God breaks through stubborn people's lives to bring out the amazing love and grace of God. We see this in Jesus more than anything. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, what we were just looking at, that was passed down to Isaac, passed on to Jacob, might come to the Gentiles, that's the nations, so that we might receive, along with believing Jews, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the blessings that we're talking about to Jacob, the blessings that God would so work in our life, that God would bless other people through our lives, is what he's doing in our lives today. If we get a picture of what the gospel is, what it is means to be a believer, what it means to shine in this dark world, it's all right here. The same blessings, the same God who's revealed himself. Our life goes beyond getting blessings. It goes to the point where God blesses us so that we can give and give more, so that other people get to a hint, a clue to the amazing power of the glory of God. Lastly, we're looking at responding to God. You see, God reveals himself. He reveals himself much more than you'd ever know. He does it in quiet words. He does it in images. He does it through people. He does it through his word. And dreams sometimes. Now let's look at Jacob's response, because it's important. You know, after he had a time of worship, this is a strange place. God really is great. Verse 16, 17, how awesome. This is the place of heaven. He set up a pillar. I remember hiking up the mountain above the timberline with my boys, and we saw things like this, stones that were built up so you can have a path where there's no trees and nothing like that. But Jacob set up a pillar of rocks. He would take whatever rocks were around. He would make up a mound. And on top, did you notice that odd one there? He would, what? Place his pillow. And then he would anoint it with oil. There's something that God, he was pausing in his life. He was reflecting, wow, this is significant. But he also made a vow. Well, notice, if God will be with me, then the Lord will bless him. Now let's look at these. If God will be with me, if God will keep me on this journey, if God will give me food, if God makes it so I return in safety, those are the ifs. Now notice Jacob. Remember, he is a clever man. This is the way he functions. And he's making a condition even here with God. If you give me these things, now these are pretty basic. It's not like a 5-star hotel that he's asking for. But safety for food, then he'll do three things. The Lord will be my God. So we're seeing something happen, aren't we? He's going from unbelief, religious unbelief, to religious belief. Not fully there, but on the way there. This stone, this pillar, will be God's house. And Bethel became a place where he would go back to and worship God. And then he would take, like Abraham we read earlier, would take what he had and give a tenth to God. Let's talk about origins of giving in the church. We don't have an offering box right here. There is one outside. You can freely give. I won't go into that here, but this is a point when God gives to you, you just want to give to God. And a tithe, the 10% here, is just basic. But God wants so much more. He wants to make us givers. But here, this was for Jacob. We saw this change in his life. The if, the then. Still with God, still leveraging himself a little bit. Just making sure he gets out of this okay, without a scathing, you know, a mark on his life. He came back, you know, his hip was dislocated, remember? He came back with a lot of things, but it was a long time. And we'll get into that in future chapters, because God still had other things to train him so that he could be a good father. So what we find here is a special response from Jacob. He was believing. He was eager. He was awed. He was pleased that God was speaking to him. What about your life? How has God worked in your life? How has God interrupted your life? What is it that he wants from you? What is he saying? What are those things that you're willing to give to him? We need to pause in our life. Sometimes we run so quickly. I really appreciate that this was out in the wilderness. Nobody else was around. You can have that time. But as I come to a close, I want us to think where we are on this timeline of sorts of unbelief. And I want us to think wherever we are in that sense of unbelief. And it might be a religious belief. And it might be like I've come to this place and worship for a couple of years on belief. But I want God to bring me further. Can you say that? So somehow God, that one up there, would begin to reveal himself to us. Now, he has made it so that we can come close. Because Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. He'll take you in. You say, well, I don't know God. The first step is God's there. He says, I'm a door. You need to go through me. Without the Son, there's but no the Father. Why the Son? Because there's the forgiveness. Because we are not perfect. Because we have not pleased God. Give him your sins. Give him your failures. Jesus will take them all, cover them by the blood of the cross, and take us through the door. Take us into the presence of God, where God can pour out his blessings. This is what he wants to do in our lives. Again, this is not the picture of God out in our society, where God doesn't care, God is not able, or God doesn't even exist. It's a God who's revealing himself to our lives. A God that wants to speak in a powerful way, more powerful than we ever could imagine. But it really is that response. Opening that door. Are you like that person? It's stuck. You say, well, it's better to be stuck. You know, I'll just go away. Or are you the one that says, no, I want to know God. If he's there, show himself to me. And you fiddle with that key until it opens. I think that's what the image is what we're trying to convey. God is trying to convey to us here that God has made himself available. He has revealed himself through Jesus Christ. And the welcome mat is out there. The door is there, calling us to go through, calling us to go through. Surprising encounters. It's always surprising. One, we don't deserve it. Two, that he really cares about us. Three, that he can do something about it. Four, that he has through Jesus Christ. Life is more than that materialism that Jacob was pursuing. He just couldn't see it. Can you? That there's more? Oh, so much more. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the amazing love of God in Christ. Lord, you not only searchest out, but you made a way. You sent the ladder down. We thank you, Lord. Just like in that flood scene, we're on that rooftop floating away in that flood. The helicopter comes by and drops that ladder. You reach out for us when we thought we were lost. Lord, why would you choose us? We're the hopeless, the sinners. Forgive us, Lord, for our materialistic ways. Forgive us, Lord, for shunning you out from our lives, never even pausing for you. Come and speak to us. Bring us home. And more than that, Lord, let us be a light through which you bless and bless other people. Thank you for your love in Christ, and in Christ we pray. Amen.
This concludes this message on surprising encounters with God from Genesis 28:10-22 by Paul Bucknell. This is part of a larger series on Genesis, Lessons from the Beginning for Today's Living, produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom, www.foundationsforfreedom.net, releasing God's truth to a new generation.